When he was angry, he didn't stutter one bit. And anytime my friend stopped stuttering, I started ducking. Because something was about to happen. And he was just an old cowboy from down in Central Texas and just, you know, didn't have an ounce of fat on him and had rode whatever, you know, you ride back. He's rode everything. I mean, just a tough old boy. And I really liked this guy. And he and I worked cattle together on the side, and we had a business. We hauled cattle, and we'd go and rope cattle and put them and haul them in trailers for these old guys around there that didn't have any pens, and we'd had come set up. And so it's a way to make a little extra income. He one morning in a little community in Central Texas, met me as I'm coming through to come to breakfast where we all met. A whole bunch of us wouldn't have breakfast every morning. At this particular cafe, and he said, "Did you see that? Did you see that?" And I did. I saw something coming in. Looks strange, because this is a guy. Had this other guy stopped in his pickup and looked like he had something jobbed up in his cheek from through the door. And so as we got to looking and walking over there, it was a man who had a field of wheat, about 80 acres of wheat, and there's this big rancher in the area. And not just was he a big rancher, he was a big man. He was at least 380 pounds and not that fat. I mean, this was a big, big man. And Tommy Lee's best friend had a 12-gauge side-by-side shotgun stuck up in this old boy's jaw and both barrels cocked. In the middle of town, in the street. And these were the words. Okay, now, y'all understand that I like the poop word quite a bit, obviously. These were the words that came out of this guy's mouth. Because what had happened was two or three times he had asked this guy to repair his fence, and he hadn't, and this guy's cows had just went over there and annihilated his 80 acres of wheat. And this was part of his livelihood, his income. This was for his cows. It wasn't for his neighbor's cows. And his neighbor's cow, and his neighbor had just blown him off, brushed him off, made a few excuses and didn't do anything, and probably was just getting his, you know, his old cows were so starved down that they was breaking the fence and going over and eating on my friend's farm. And so that 12-gauge was poked up, and this guy's jaw is so big it's almost like it swallowed the gun. And these were the words he said. He said, "Hell, poop, and your brains are fixing to be blown all over this pickup. I told you to get those blankety-blank cattle off my place, and I meant it." And it was fixing to happen. This was not play. It was just about to happen. And luckily, the guy who had the 12-gauge jobbed up in this other guy's jaw, Dad showed up for breakfast too and started talking to his son and started telling him, "Son, it's not worth it." He said, that's what he told his dad. He said, "Stand back, Dad." Because hell, poop, and this guy's brains are fixing to fly all over this pickup. That was it. "Stand back, Dad." "Son, it's not worth it." "Dad, you better stand back." "Son, it's not worth it." And eventually, he pulled the shotgun away. The guy hit the gas and drove immediately and loaded up his cattle and moved them to another ranch. I think that was wisdom on his part. For just a moment there, I really saw a picture of what it means to be in a realm or in a place to where someone's will was about to be exerted and done. And I want to talk to you guys this morning about the kingdom of God. And how, if we allow it, God wants to bring his rule and his reign into our sphere of life. This man drove up and had the will of another man exerted upon him. He had fallen under the control of another man's will. And in many ways, what the Bible says is that we are to seek first, ask for first, seek out in our own lives to enter into another man's realm. Another man's will, our God, the kingdom of God. I don't watch much news, and if I do, I watch Fox News, And if I do watch that, I watch O'Reilly. And if I do watch O'Reilly, what I try to do is find out when Waters is going to be on there. Y'all know Waters? Yeah. You know Waters, when he concludes his interview, he says, I'm Waters and this is my world. In other words, this is my sphere, my realm. This is my world. You are in my world. I'm going to tell you guys today, no matter what you've been taught or what you've learned about God and his kingdom and Christ, this is my Father's world. And this is his realm. And this is his reign. And I hope I can make some things clear about how other things coexist here today alongside of the kingdom of God and make a little bit of sense to you, because we all have this why question and we have all those pushbacks, don't we, about, well, if this is your world, God, then why? Bad question. Got great answers. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? All right, here we go. We preach the cross. Jesus preached the kingdom. We preached it is finished. Jesus preached it is at hand. We preach eternity as a future reality. Jesus preached eternity as a present condition that we enter into through himself. We talk about going to heaven. Jesus talked about bringing heaven to earth. Jesus didn't preach the work of the cross. He hadn't even been on the cross yet. He preached the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And Jesus taught his followers, this is what he taught his disciples, that it's at hand. The Greek word is, it looks like egokin, but it's angikin, and it means to be at hand. And if you really, really spent some time with the word and looked at it, it would be better translated that the kingdom of God, and when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, he was saying it is now. It's here now. And not that it had just appeared, but it's always been there. It had always been there. The kingdom of God had always been there. It's here now. And it's, and this is what Jesus was saying, it's extremely present today through me. It's here. It's now. It's at hand. It's available to anyone who wants it. Best translated, has come. The kingdom of God has come. How many guys know, well, we all do, most likely in this room, we know what and understand what the word D-Day means. It's the day that we invaded the coastlines of Normandy and entered into Europe. The Americans did, and the British, and we all invaded into Normandy, France, and that was D-Day. And then later on, years later, there was a day called VE-Day, which was Victory in Europe. Y'all get that? So in a sense, the kingdom of God is now. It's come. It's entered onto the beaches, and it's created a beachhead for it to come through. So the kingdom of God is coming. But the kingdom of God is not here with irresistible force. It will be someday. This is what the Bible says. There will be a day when every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall say Jesus Christ is Lord. This is not that day. This is between D-Day and VE-Day. It's here, but it's not here with irresistible power. But it's here. And it's powerful to those who've allowed themselves to step into its reality and into its presence. It's powerfully present here for us. John asked Jesus, he said, are you the one? Remember this? He said, are you the one, or do we look for another? And you know what Jesus said? The lame walk. The blind see. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He didn't try to defend himself. He just said, this is what's happening. You reckon it's here? Reckon, that's a Jewish word. In the Greek it means, just kidding. It's not Greek. That's West Texan, right, Todd? You know, reckon. There was a reckoning going on, and the fact was, is here's what the kingdom of God was doing. It was there individually and in locales, defeating the presence of evil in the lives of people, places, and things. But it wasn't and is not there in irresistible force. It will be someday. There will be that day. When there will be the day of the Lord when he returns. And don't get me started on end times and red heifers and black heifers and spotted heifers and when this is and all this stuff gets lined up. I don't believe any of that stuff. I read all those books in the past. I don't let this hurt your feelings this morning. I don't know what to believe about. All I want to do is that if my Lord returns, I want him to find me doing something for him. Amen.
Come on.
I don't want him to find me in a bar unless I'm witnessing. The Lord told me to go in there. That's the only way I'm going in there. You understand? I don't know how it all turns out in the end. I don't care. I hadn't even thought about it recently. I don't even think about it. There will be a day, though. There will be a VE day, that white horse day when Jesus returns, right? And there's going to be victory in the earth in totality. And he'll be here with irresistible power and force. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, you are Lord. Saved people, unsaved people, halfway saved people, Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, they'll all do it. Everybody. Wow. Dallas Willard describes God's kingdom, one of my favorite authors, as present and available. He tells how in his senior year in high school, I'm just going to read this for you, okay? It's a great little story. He tells how in his senior year in high school that electricity became available in the rural area of southern Missouri where he and his family resided on a farm. The REA, the Rural Electric Association, ran power lines and electricity was now available. Willard says that when those lines came by our farm, a very different way of living presented itself. Our relationship to fundamental aspects of life, daylight and dark, hot and cold, clean and dry, work and leisure, preparing food and preserving it, could then be vastly changed for the better. But we still had to believe in the electricity and its arrangements and understand them and take practical steps involved in relying on it. Willard goes on to say that you may think the comparison rather crude, and in some respects it is. But it will help us understand Jesus' basic message about the kingdom of the heavens or the kingdom of God if we pause to reflect on those farmers who, in effect, heard the message, repent. This is the message they heard. Repent, for electricity is at hand. Amen? That's what Jesus was saying. Repent because the kingdom's at hand. And repent doesn't mean to have an emotional moment at the altar. It can mean that. Repent means to turn and receive something and go another direction. Now, here's what amazed Dallas Willard. Some of those folks didn't receive it, didn't accept it. Some of them were suspicious of it, and others thought they couldn't afford it. Who of us would now think today that electricity is something we can or could not afford? Come on, talk to me. We don't even think about it, do we? We just pay the stinking bill. We got to have it. And it's totally renovated our lives. We can wash clothes. We can microwave food. We can have internet. We can plug computers in. You can watch porn at night on your computer. Oh, sorry. It's made all kinds of things available to us. It's changed our whole way of life, electricity did. Wow. Those people all of a sudden had ice boxes, didn't they? Not refrigerators, ice boxes and cellars instead of cellars. They had rug beaters instead of scrub boards. Their women now had powered sewing machines rather than a needle in their hands. And they used to have these old dry cell batteries or these old batteries you had to crank up. And then they'd wear down, and then you have to crank them up again. Now they had dry cell batteries they could put in there because electricity was available now. It changed the world. And it'll change your world because the kingdom of God is available here now, today. It's here. See, the power that could make their lives better was near them. All they had to do was receive it, accept it, and understand it. They had to understand it. And I think this is a bad, bad demise in the church today, is that the role of the teacher has gone missing in the church of America today. The role of the teacher who sat down on a mountain and explained his whole kingdom and how it operated to 12 disciples and a multitude of other people who were sitting on that mountain. You understand that where Jesus sat on that mountain and taught his disciples, they say the acoustics were such that great horde that had followed him, who, by the way, were being cleansed and healed and set free and fed and delivered, all those things. And that's why they were there. Because their lives were better. Their lives have changed. And there they were on this mountain. The acoustics were such that Jesus just talking in a normal voice, quieter than I'm talking now, they all could have heard him. Have you ever been on the mountain or down a mountain and heard someone speaking, and yet they're 400, 500 yards away, but you could hear them perfectly clearly because of the acoustics that sometimes are how sound works in the mountains? I love that, don't you? Well, they say that's exactly where Jesus sat down. Exactly where he sat down was such that when he spoke, everyone heard him. It just wasn't specifically to his disciples. He sat down and taught them. And these are some of the things that he taught them. Seek ye first the kingdom. Jesus' message was repent, for the kingdom of God is here now. So a kingdom, our kingdom, just say my kingdom, our kingdom. My kingdom is simply the sphere or range of my or your effective will. Do you get that? That's what a kingdom is. What we genuinely have the say over is our kingdom, our queendom, our government, you know, or the area in which one has authority. That's a kingdom. It's where we really have the say. And that's not much for me. How about y'all? That's a pretty limited space. So what was the creation mandate? Don't you remember the creation mandate? You know, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, rule. Take rule, this thing. Take dominion over it. And so even Jesus, as Brad has been teaching us here on these Tuesday mornings, Jesus told us to pray this way: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Already is in heaven. And what he's effectively saying there is this, is that I want heaven to come to earth. And the way it comes to earth is through my will being done. It's where my will is expressed and received. And given enough time, someday we'll have a sermon series that's getting worked on right now. We'll explain every bit of this. So his will is not about you going to India. It's not so much about your location or your vocation. It's about your willingness to be in his realm, to step into it. So Jesus taught us to pray this. So a kingdom, what is a kingdom? It's the effective range, the effective rule, or the effective will being expressed where someone who wants something done, it gets done. Amen? That's a kingdom. In Matthew 6, Jesus instructs us to pray this way. Pray then in this way: our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In NASB. So for me, there's three areas that from my perspective, this is my perspective, from my study and my time and looking at this, there are three areas in which God's kingdom or his effective will is currently permitted to be absent. That would be the political kingdoms of this earth, the social kingdoms of this earth, and the hearts of men and women. Three places. I'm telling you, this is God's world. This is God's universe. And when he gets up every day, he just doesn't have the earth to look at. He has everywhere to look at. And how cool would it be to just be where those atmospheres are just exploding and new worlds are being formed? That's his world. This is his world. He's here in this world. This is my Father's world. But the three areas that God permits to work and operate in this earth without his will being exerted are the political areas, the social areas, and the hearts of men, women, and children. Get it? That's all by invitation, or that's all through careful prayer. Pray. So the three areas, here's three areas I would pray for. Pray for the political atmosphere of this country. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. You know Steve Friskup, cowboy preacher over Mule Shoe. Anybody know Steve? He just did a sermon called Jezebel and the Jackass. God can't use Jezebel, but he can use a jackass. Amen? We know that biblically because Balaam got talked to by a jackass, didn't he? Okay, so y'all put the fill in the blanks there. Or go online and listen to Brother Steve. He's a good friend of ours. Okay, so are y'all tracking with me here? So the social arena, the political arena, and the hearts of individuals. These are the three areas. These are the only places in all of creation where God permits his will not to be exerted. This is the realm on the earth which we desperately need to pray this prayer over. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. My heart. What's the first area I'm going to pray this over? My own heart. God, your kingdom come, your will be done. Unapologetically, Jesus is announcing in this Sermon on the Mount, he's announcing to all these people through this prayer, he's announcing to all these people that now available to all human beings is access through himself to God's rule, God's reign, and God's kingdom. And that rule and that reign and that kingdom is a rule of goodness and blessing. Blessedness. Goodness. And one of these days soon we're going to talk about how the kingdom of God and even righteousness itself eventually has to be understood in the concept of goodness, not badness. Area number two, political social realms. Jesus, what should we be praying today? We shouldn't be out there complaining about people. We should be praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen? So, here's where all this gets confusing to me and to a lot of people. Along with God's kingdom being here and at hand, listen to me, there are other kingdoms here in this earth and at hand. And that gets kind of confusing some days. Because there's a lot of days and a lot of times these other kingdoms look like they're more powerful than God's kingdom, don't they? And it can get real confusing. And all of a sudden those why questions come out. And how come? And why would you allow this? Because it's permitted. This is permitted by God. God permits these other kingdoms to be in this earth. Just like God left some people in the promised land that Israel possessed so that later on the children of Israel would know how to fight. Just like that, there are kingdoms left in this earth today so that we learn how to mature, grow up, pray, war, fight for what's ours. That's one reason. The other reason is it's permitted. It's D-Day. And we're headed towards VE Day. And from D-Day to VE Day was a lot of bloody, horrible fighting, wasn't it? There were casualties of war. Just like in the world today, and just like in Christendom today, just like in families today, there are casualties of this war. Let's don't be a casualty, men. The way I know how not to be is to learn the truths. The teachings of Jesus, apply those to my life. Here's what I've come, and we'll talk about this later on in the sermon series too. It's a whole message. Here's what I've learned. Obedience equates to goodness. He who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like. So I'm learning how to be in his realm. I'm learning to allow him to reign in my life. I'm learning how to allow him to express his rule in my life, as well as to bring his rule through me to other people's life. And here's what I've learned. If God's called me to something like this kingdom, he can enable me as a person to overcome this world. See, my strategy is not to condemn people. My strategy is to be an overcomer myself. Yes. And if he's called me, he can enable me. Do you understand that? There is power here today to enable us to overcome anything. Anything, any addiction, any thought process, any thought life, any sin. He can enable me. This is what he will. Listen to me. God prepared me. See, for good works. I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? You were prepared for good works? You know what the Bible also says? It says the good man out of the good treasured up in his heart brings forth that which is good. God can enable my life to be an instrument of goodness to this world. If I find his effective rule and his reign and in his will and embrace it in my own life. Okay. So there are powerful social and cultural kingdoms generally. What are they generally tied to, Jim? Money, right? Politics, right? There are powerful social and political kingdoms, cultural kingdoms that stand and actively promote their own will against the will of God. There are political kingdoms, governments, and regimes that bring war, famine, genocide, abuse of races and genders, along with the exploitation of children. Those kingdoms are in this earth today. And we're the only salt and the only light that they'll ever see. You see, that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We're the only light that can shine in the darkness of those kingdoms. Come on. And by the way, there is a domain of darkness in this earth led by malevolent forces and headed up by a guy named Satan. He's defeated, but he's here. He lives through lies and through deception. And the thief, Satan, came to do one of these three things: to kill, to steal, and destroy. That force, that powerful force, is in this earth today. And come on, it's permitted, as long as the church doesn't stand up and put it under its foot. How many guys liking this? You hearing some truth here? Does this help you understand what you're living in a little bit more? Does this make you a little wiser? I hope. Now, here's where it gets unconfused for me. Y'all want to get unconfused? So good to be unconfused, isn't it? I understand there are many other kingdoms out here in competition for me and for my family, for my money. Come on, talk to me. For my energy, for my kids. I understand that. They're operating in this earth. Yet the Bible called me not to pay attention to those, but to do something that's primary. And this is what the Bible called me to do. And this is what Jesus called me to do. Seek ye first. Primary. All this other stuff is lesser. It's the lesser gods. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Primary. So primary for every believer isn't to go around and tell people how your sins are forgiven. That's good. It's not for you to sit around and say how thankful you are that Jesus saved you. It's for you to do this one thing first. This is the first of all things. Seek first and find that effective rule of God in your own heart and life. First, primary. Let's read that. It's Matthew 6, 25, right? Is that good enough, Paul? Listen to this, guys. This is awesome. It says, for this reason I say to you, don't be anxious for your life. See, this is the cure for anxiety. This is the cure for fear. It says, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat and what you shall drink, nor your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? And look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, neither do they reap. They don't go in the barn. They don't put stuff in barns. They don't hoard. They don't do any of this. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. And yet I say to you that how they array themselves, how they're clothed. Solomon, you know, one of the wealthiest men in the world, had 500 wives plus, you know. Even Solomon didn't have clothes like God clothes this earth. He says in verse 30, O men of little faith, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek for, the lesser gods. See, culture wants us to buy into an economics and social and relational political kingdom where it becomes a god to us, and we start seeking after those things. Are they important? Sure they are, but they're not worth giving away your relationship to Christ nor your family, losing your family for these lesser gods. Therefore, verse 34, don't be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day it has enough trouble of its own. You know what Jesus is saying? You know what? There's crap that hits the fan every day. Why worry about tomorrow? Just handle what's coming at you today. Come on, guys. It's supposed to be funny, right? Just learn how to, you know, duck and roll. Because it's coming. Every day. There's enough trouble. Every day. Why should I project trouble into the future when there's enough for today? Wow. Let's go back up to, what's the passage I'm looking for? Seek you first there. It's 633, I'm sorry. There it is. I blew by it in my zeal. But seek, here it is. Here's the primary. Here's the greater God. This is the greater goal. This is the higher goal. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things shall be what? Added. Not taken. Come on, listen to me. Not taken. Added. Not taken. Added. You know, I know we all love that carpe diem thing, seize the day. No, I want to find the will of God and let him add. I don't want to seize nothing. I don't want, listen, here's my greatest temptation in life is for me to step out of my giftings. Every time I step out of who I really am, I get in so much trouble. And that temptation there is there every day. Step out. You need the lead. You need to seize the day. You need to do this. You need to do that. No, I don't. I need to do this one thing. Seek first. Fall in line with who God called me to be. Let his will and his rule reign inside of me and just do that. And as I do that, primary, first, as I seek the greater God, the lesser gods will give to me what's mine. Amen? Come on, guys, really. They'll serve me. I won't serve them. God bless you guys. You get it? What's primary? This is what makes sense out of all of this. There are many kingdoms in this earth. Some of them look very powerful, don't they? But Jesus said, seek first my kingdom. And when you find it, you're going to go, ain't nothing even compares with it. There's nothing compares to the power and the authority and the rule and the dynamic of this kingdom. Amen. God bless.